As we approach the year 2000, there is a growing concern on the part of parents, on the part of pastors, on the part of educators, and on others who have been observing children in this society. There's a concern over the violent behavior of many children in this society. Many studies have shown that there's a slight decrease in violent crimes on the part of adults across America, but there are radical increases in crime and in violent crime on the part of our children in America. And that violence has evidenced itself even in schoolyard shootings across this country, where we have heard of young people taking their guns into the schoolyard and taking their anger out on various schoolmates in the schools of our land. Many of our neglected and angry youth are spending hours a day on their computer games and in their virtual environments, where they are becoming literally desensitized towards violence. And by spending hour after hour watching blood and mayhem and murder on their virtual environment, they are literally finding that there's a desensitization taking place in their hearts towards the violent activity that is all around them. Another factor that is facing our children today is the fact that there is a proliferation of violent and sexually explicit material becoming available to them on the internet today. And every parent needs to be aware of the dangers of the internet in the home. And it's becoming apparent more and more that young people, in fact 16 million a day under age 17, are getting involved in the internet, which is not necessarily evil, but can be evil if we are not restraining and understanding what's taking place on that internet. This past week, USA Today reported that a federal judge blocked enforcement of a law that would restrain materials made available to minors on the internet. Robert Flores of the National Center for Children said, "Kids are now on their own on the internet." And so we have seen, all of us in recent days, the violence on the campuses. We have seen children who have spent so much time playing their computer games and involved in their virtual environment that they are now becoming desensitized to violence in general. We have all heard about the problems on the internet, and some have studied these problems. And yet, as the problems and the statistics are staggering today, it would be unwise for any of us to focus on a gun or a computer or the internet as the real problem. The real problem is the heart of our children. In fact, the heart of every problem is normally a problem of the heart. And we need to understand today that while many would focus on behavior, God is more interested in the heart of our children. He's interested in my heart and your heart today as well. God wants us to realize in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 that out of the heart are the issues of life, and that we're to guard the heart of our children. Now, the true guide for letting God arise in our families is the Word of God. And God's word says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, I want my children to understand the dangers of this society. But I want them to understand first and foremost the importance of honoring God from their heart. And I want to share some things with you from God's word that I trust will be a help to all of us with children, with grandchildren, as we endeavor to say, "God, rise up in our children's hearts." Now, how can we see that happen? In the midst of all that is happening with young people today, with all of the anger, with all of the violence, with all of the games that really desensitize their morals, with the internet issues, how can we in this society raise up children who have hearts for God? Now, I want to share three thoughts with you that I trust will be a blessing. First of all, we must establish the role of authority in the home once again. We must establish the role of authority in the home once again. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, our culture today has lost its way with regard to parenting. It seems as though we're just listlessly going through the waters without direction when it comes to the philosophy of parenting children. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, that a parent's authority is given by God. A parent's authority is given by God. Our authority in the home is vested authority. In fact, really all true authority is vested authority. It is given by God. And every one of us who have any realm of authority need to recognize true authority is not of ourselves, but it is from the Lord. Parents, we have been vested by God with a responsibility to establish authority in the family. A parent is acting as an administrative agent for the Lord. You are God's representative in that family. You are God-ordained authority in that home. Now you say, Pastor, this is so basic. And yet, as basic as it is, most families in America today are not being ruled by the parents, but are being ruled by the children today. And we need to recognize that God has ordained that parents are to be the authority in that family. That's why Colossians 3 and verse 20 says that obedience on the part of a child is pleasing unto the Lord. Why? Because God established the parents in the family, and a child is to obey the parents as unto the Lord. He is to understand that it is pleasing to God when he obeys his mother or his father. And children today often do not seem to fear speaking back to their parents. They do not seem to fear speaking back to their teachers in school. They do not seem to fear just showing all forms of outward rebellion in society. And one of the reasons is because when you go back to the family, mothers and fathers have not established the role of authority in the home. God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. A parent's authority is given by God. When a child rebels against a parent, the child is rebelling against God. And what an important time in the life of a child to learn how to obey God as he follows the rule of his parents. Now, a parent's authority is given by God. We also see in this passage that proper exercise of parental authority will lead children toward God. The proper exercise of parental authority will lead children toward God. The Bible says, if we'll bring them up in the ways of the Lord, that when they are old, they will not depart from it. Now, our desire should not be that our kids would merely impress the relatives. Our desire should be that our children would please God. Amen? How many of you do that when you're going to the relative's house? You give them the speech on the way over? When we get there, you eat everything put in front of you. And when we get there, I want you to make sure that you only speak if you're spoken to and don't hit your sister. And I'm telling you, if you embarrass us, we're going to kill you when we get home. You know, you ever give them that kind of a speech? But our goal should not be just to impress other people. Our goal should be that when God looks into the hearts of our children, that God is pleased. Now, Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And sometimes when we speak about the measures of authority in the home and leading children in the home, people get all kinds of ideas. In fact, I've observed two different extremes. You know, first of all, you've got the John Wayne extreme, you know. You've got the parent over here that seems to say something like, kid, you mess with me, we're going to take a long ride on the back 40, and you're going to die somewhere out there. Don't mess with me, you know? And he's kind of this big, mean, yelling, screaming kind of a figure that just leads from that kind of authority. Then on the other end of the continuum, you have some kind of a wimpy fish-like kind of an authority figure, you know? The kid knows how to manipulate, how to get whatever, whenever, wherever. He knows the look to give. He knows the scowl to give. He knows just how to cry. He knows just how to work the system. And you have the wimpy authority figure. But you know, the Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And I want to submit to you that you can provoke a child to wrath by having the angry John Wayne approach, and by being too volatile in your leadership in the home. You can also prevent or provoke a child to wrath by taking a wimpy, non-involved approach, by whatever, whatever. I'm going to tell you something. Our children want direction from their parents. When the Bible says, provoke not your children to wrath, one way children are provoked to wrath is by not receiving enough leadership in the home. And so God wants us to recognize our role. Parental authority is not angry. Provoke not your children unto wrath. And I want you to take a note of this. Anger does not move our children towards God. Anger will not move our children towards a closer relationship with God. it will always move them away from God and into a life of wrath. And I know sometimes, moms and dads, we can get angry. I heard of a child, this past week was report card week, and I heard of a child speaking to his father as his father was looking at a report card with straight A's, and he was kind of furrowed brow looking at that, trying to figure it out. And his son said, "Well, Dad, you said to bring home a good report card, so I brought home Billy Wilson's report card." And, you know, every once in a while, kids have a way of doing things that do get us frustrated. But we as parents need to say, "God, give me grace that even when I'm that frustrated or I want to wring his neck, that I'll myself take the time out and send him to his room and then come and deal with him in the way that you would have me to deal with him." But parental authority, we speak of the proper exercise of parental authority, leading children to God. Parental authority is not an angry authority. Godly authority is not to be given out with anger and wrath and malice in our hearts towards our children. Parental authority is not a negligent authority. We said on one end you have the wrathful John Wayne type. On the other end you have the wimpy, non-involved type. And a child that is not given restraint, a child that is let go, will also become angry because they sense a lack of love and involvement in that sense. And then parental authority is loving but firm. God wants our authority as parents to be loving authority but firm authority in the home. Now, parents, you and not your children are to set the boundaries in your home. You are to set the boundaries of what is right and what is wrong, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. And God has established that you are to have a role of authority in that home. And I know we are living in a day of changing culture and we hear of all of the socialistic talk and the child's rights talk and all of the rest of that. But I want to tell you what a child has a right to do. He has a right to obey a godly parent. And children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Moms and dads, as God's vested authority in the family, we have an awesome responsibility. And I've had some children, not many but a few, say, "Pastor Chappell, you speak of the Heavenly Father, but if you knew my human father and what took place, you would understand why sometimes it's hard to comprehend the love of a Heavenly Father." Dads, we ought to say, by God's grace, I want my love to somehow be an example and a picture of what God's love is in my home. And we need to establish a role of authority that is godly, loving authority. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse 15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the heart of correction shall drive it from him." And you see, the Bible is very clear that as a child has a foolish heart, so the rod of correction will drive it from him. In other words, moms and dads are to set the perimeters and then we're to stand by those perimeters with firmness. So how can God arise in the hearts of our children? First of all, we must establish the role of authority. It is God-given to moms and dads, and we must take that role in this day and age in which we live. In this day of latchkey kids, in this day of children's rights, in this day when kids seem to go wherever, whenever, and do whatever, we need some moms and dads who will come back and say, "I'm going to accept the responsibility that God has given to me, and I'm going to establish the role of authority in the home." Now, notice a second principle. Not only must we establish the role of authority in the home, but secondly, we must exercise the responsibility of parents. We must exercise the responsibility of parents. Now, notice what it says in verse 4 once again. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, parenting involves much more than just establishing the authority. Parenting also involves this matter of exercising the responsibility that parents have. And the Bible gives two specifics in verse 4. It says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord." Now, the nurture of the children. We're to nurture the children. The word nurture speaks of training and discipline. Training and discipline. Sometimes when we hear the word discipline, we think of corporal punishment. And that's not the primary emphasis of the word nurture or discipline. It is primarily speaking about a training process. getting our children ready for adulthood, getting them ready to make the right decisions on their own. And we're to help them develop a godly way of life. We're to nurture them to that point that when they begin to make their own decisions, they'll be able to make the right decisions. Well, I'll tell you what, the fact of the matter is, and we have three kids now in the youth group, and many of you have teenagers, it goes by quick, doesn't it? And I pray that our children will not merely have an outward conformity, but that they will be nurtured from the heart to make the right decisions when it's time for them to be on their own making the decisions. And I want to give you just some practical thoughts on how to nurture a child, some thoughts on how to nurture and develop and train and discipline a child. I think, first of all, our children need to be encouraged. And I think one of the ways you help people to reach their full potential is to catch them doing something right and encourage them when they do what is right. I think they need to be corrected. They need to know when they've done something that's wrong. They need to be corrected in that matter. And then I think, thirdly, we see in the Scriptures they need to be instructed. They need to be taught in the way that they're to go. And then fourthly, the Bible speaks about entreating them. Entreating a child, E-N-T-R-E-A-T. Proverbs 23:26, for example, Solomon says to his son, "My son, give me thine heart." He's entreating with his son. "Son, give me your heart. I want to ask you something." And sometimes when we speak to our teenagers, and I do not believe it's the responsibility of the schools to teach the children about the ways of life and about issues dealing with sexual orientation and so forth. I believe it's the responsibility of moms and dads to do that. We need to teach them of the joy of a proper marital relationship and the reasons for waiting for that. And sometimes when we speak to our teenagers in our home, we say something like, "Look, son, give me your heart. Sweetheart, give me your heart. I want to talk to you for a minute." What is that? That's making entreaty with them. And that's asking them to understand and to give you their heart in that matter. Number five, we need to warn them. As we nurture them along, we need to warn them about some things. You read the book of Proverbs, and that's a great book just to read a chapter a day. And it's filled with warning after warning after warning. And as we nurture the children, we need to warn them of the things that would harm their life and their testimony. Number six, sometimes we need to rebuke the children. Sometimes we need to just say, "Look, this was wrong that you did, and you need to know it." And then number seven, we need to pray for our children. Someone says, "How can I nurture my children? How can I discipline them to become disciplined adults on their own?" Here are seven ways. You see, dads, every one of us need to recognize you're in the full-time ministry today. You're the pastor of your family. You're the minister of your home. You're to be nurturing that family, just as a pastor is to be nurturing a church. You're to be nurturing and bringing the family along in the right kinds of disciplines so that the children might go out to serve God. And then not only does it say to nurture, but notice it says in verse 4, to bring them up in the nurture, and secondly, the admonition of the Lord. Now, nurture speaks of training and discipline. Admonition speaks more specifically about teaching. Teaching. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." And there is a principle that Timothy knew some things from a child. And I believe kids that grow up in Christian homes should have great advantages. Why? Because they're getting Scripture at an early age. And they need the Scriptures at an early age. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And thou shalt teach them diligently," Moses was told. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Now, God says to Moses, "I want the children of Israel to be teaching their own children from the Word of God. I want them to talk about the Word of God when they're walking through the house, when they rise up in the morning. I want it to be natural that God is spoken of and the ways of God spoken of in the home." And we're to be teaching our children about God. I love to use the rainbow when I see the rainbow as a teaching illustration. I love to use nature as a teaching illustration of God's faithfulness. And there are times every day, just in the normal course of life, where we can speak of God and where we can speak to the heart of our children when it comes to the things of God. Now, it is important, moms and dads, even in Christian families, that we are nurturing our children, disciplining and training them, and that we are teaching our children along the way. Josh McDowell, who's written some books and has had ministry over the years with teenagers, did a survey a few years ago with 3,700 Christian teenagers. And I thank God, and I believe that we have a tremendous youth group, and I think they're better off than the statistics that I'm about ready to read. But just across the board, Christian teenagers, in the last 30 days, he asked them about some of their character traits. And he found that of the 3,700 he surveyed, 66% of them in the last 30 days had lied to a parent, a teacher, or an adult. Had lied in the last 30 days, 66% of Christian teenagers. 59% had lied to their peers. 45% of them said they watched MTV weekly. And parents, if you think your children can watch that garbage and take that in to their heart and then live a godly life, you're wrong. But that was Christian teenagers. 36% of Christian teenagers had cheated on a test. 23% had used a tobacco product. 12% had used alcohol. And 65% of them prayed daily. Now, that's great that they're praying, but there's something going on in the heart of a teenager that can pray daily and can watch MTV daily and can lie to his parent perhaps daily. The fact of the matter is, moms and dads, just because you're in church and just because the kids are in Christian school is not quite enough. We need moms and dads who will exercise their responsibility as parents in the home to show the Christian life and to speak of the Lord and to speak to the issues of the heart of the child. And I've had some children, not many but a few, say, "Pastor Chapel, you speak of the Heavenly Father, but if you knew my human father and what took place, you would understand why sometimes it's hard to comprehend the love of a Heavenly Father." And dads, we ought to say, by God's grace, I want my love to somehow be an example and a picture of what God's love is in my home. And we need to establish a role of authority that is godly, loving authority. The Bible says in Proverbs 22 and verse 15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the heart of correction shall drive it from him." And you see, the Bible is very clear that as a child has a foolish heart, so the rod of correction will drive it from him. In other words, moms and dads are to set the perimeters, and then we're to stand by those perimeters with firmness. So, how can God arise in the hearts of our children? First of all, we must establish the role of authority. It is God-given to moms and dads, and we must take that role in this day and age in which we live. In this day of latchkey kids, in this day of children's rights, in this day when kids seem to go wherever, whenever, and do whatever, we need some moms and dads who will come back and say, "I'm going to accept the responsibility that God has given to me, and I'm going to establish the role of authority in the home." Now, notice a second principle. Not only must we establish the role of authority in the home, but secondly, we must exercise the responsibility of parents. We must exercise the responsibility of parents. Now, notice what it says in verse 4 once again. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, parenting involves much more than just establishing the authority. Parenting also involves this matter of exercising the responsibility that parents have. And the Bible gives two specifics in verse 4. It says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord." Now, the nurture of the children. We're to nurture the children. The word nurture speaks of training and discipline. Training and discipline. Sometimes when we hear the word discipline, we think of corporal punishment. And that's not the primary emphasis of the word nurture or discipline. It is primarily speaking about a training process, getting our children ready for adulthood, getting them ready to make the right decisions on their own. And we're to help them develop a godly way of life. We're to nurture them to that point that when they begin to make their own decisions, they'll be able to make the right decisions. Well, I'll tell you what. The fact of the matter is, and we have three kids now in the youth group, and many of you have teenagers, it goes by quick, doesn't it? And I pray that our children will not merely have an outward conformity, but that they will be nurtured from the heart to make the right decisions when it's time for them to be on their own making the decisions. And I want to give you just some practical thoughts on how to nurture a child, some thoughts on how to nurture and develop and train and discipline a child. I think, first of all, our children need to be encouraged. And I think one of the ways you help people to reach their full potential is to catch them doing something right and encourage them when they do what is right. I think they need to be corrected. They need to know when they've done something that's wrong. They need to be corrected in that matter. And then I think, thirdly, we see in the scriptures they need to be instructed. They need to be taught in the way that they're to go. And then fourthly, the Bible speaks about entreating them. Entreating a child, E-N-T-R-E-A-T. Proverbs 23:26, for example, Solomon says to his son, "My son, give me thine heart." He's entreating with his son. "Son, give me your heart. I want to ask you something." And sometimes when we speak to our teenagers, and I do not believe it's the responsibility of the schools to teach the children about the ways of life and about issues dealing with sexual orientation and so forth. I believe it's the responsibility of moms and dads to do that. We need to teach them of the joy of a proper marital relationship and the reasons for waiting for that. And sometimes when we speak to our teenagers in our home, we say something like, "Look, son, give me your heart. Sweetheart, give me your heart. I want to talk to you for a minute." What is that? That's making entreaty with them. And that's asking them to understand and to give you their heart in that matter. Number five, we need to warn them. As we nurture them along, we need to warn them about some things. You read the book of Proverbs, and that's a great book just to read a chapter a day. And it's filled with warning after warning after warning. And as we nurture the children, we need to warn them of the things that would harm their life and their testimony. Number six, sometimes we need to rebuke the children. Sometimes we need to just say, "Look, this was wrong that you did, and you need to know it." And then number seven, we need to pray for our children. Someone says, "How can I nurture my children? How can I discipline them to become disciplined adults on their own?" Here are seven ways. You see, dads, every one of us need to recognize you're in the full-time ministry today. You're the pastor of your family. You're the minister of your home. You're to be nurturing that family, just as a pastor is to be nurturing a church. You're to be nurturing and bringing the family along in the right kinds of disciplines so that the children might go out to serve God. And then not only does it say to nurture, but notice it says in verse 4, to bring them up in the nurture, and secondly, the admonition of the Lord. Now, nurture speaks of training and discipline. Admonition speaks more specifically about teaching. Teaching. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." And there is a principle that Timothy knew some things from a child. And I believe kids that grow up in Christian homes should have great advantages. Why? Because they're getting Scripture at an early age. And they need the Scriptures at an early age. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And thou shalt teach them diligently," Moses was told. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Now, God says to Moses, "I want the children of Israel to be teaching their own children from the Word of God. I want them to talk about the Word of God when they're walking through the house, when they rise up in the morning. I want it to be natural that God is spoken of and the ways of God spoken of in the home." And we're to be teaching our children about God. I love to use the rainbow when I see the rainbow as a teaching illustration. I love to use nature as a teaching illustration of God's faithfulness. And there are times every day, just in the normal course of life, where we can speak of God and where we can speak to the heart of our children when it comes to the things of God. Now, it is important, moms and dads, even in Christian families, that we are nurturing our children, disciplining and training them, and that we are teaching our children along the way. Josh McDowell, who's written some books and has had ministry over the years with teenagers, did a survey a few years ago with 3,700 Christian teenagers. And I thank God, and I believe that we have a tremendous youth group, and I think they're better off than the statistics that I'm about ready to read. But just across the board, Christian teenagers, in the last 30 days, he asked them about some of their character traits. And he found that of the 3,700 he surveyed, 66% of them in the last 30 days had lied to a parent, a teacher, or an adult. Had lied in the last 30 days, 66% of Christian teenagers. 59% had lied to their peers. 45% of them said they watched MTV weekly. And parents, if you think your children can watch that garbage and take that in to their heart and then live a godly life, you're wrong. But that was Christian teenagers. 36% of Christian teenagers had cheated on a test. 23% had used a tobacco product. 12% had used alcohol. And 65% of them prayed daily. Now, that's great that they're praying, but there's something going on in the heart of a teenager that can pray daily and can watch MTV daily and can lie to his parent perhaps daily. The fact of the matter is, moms and dads, just because you're in church and just because the kids are in Christian school is not quite enough. We need moms and dads who will exercise their responsibility as parents in the home to show the Christian life and to speak of the Lord and to speak to the issues of the heart of the child. And so, first of all, moms and dads must establish the role of authority in the home. Secondly, we must exercise the responsibility of parents, which is to bring them up in the nurture, that's the discipline process, and the admonition, that's the teaching process of talking to our kids about the Lord, talking to them about what is right and what is wrong, and why it is right and why it is wrong, and really admonishing them in the Lord. Now then, thirdly, moms and dads need to encourage relationships with their children. Now, how can we do that? I want you to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 for a moment, and I want to share with you how we can encourage some relationships with our children. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 7, we quoted a moment ago, I want you to see this verse as it relates not only to just teaching in the sense of a monologue, but also as it relates to the relationship of the family. Deuteronomy 6, 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, speaking of the commandments of the Lord. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You know, one of the hardest things in the whole world to do is to talk to a teenager. How many of you parents of teenagers know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know you're supposed to. You're sitting in the room. You've got the moment. And I've had times, I mean, I don't have time, a tough time. I can talk to preachers. I can talk to business people. I can talk to elected officials. I can talk to just about anybody. But you put me in one room with one of my teenagers, and I know there's something important I need to talk about. And for some reason, it's a challenge right there. But you know what God's Word says is that we need to make talking about God just a natural part of the everyday life. It needs to be a part of the process. When we're seated, when we're standing, when we're walking, talking about the things of God. Now, how do we do that? Letter A, through godly communication. Through godly communication. And it says in verse 7, it says, thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. In other words, when we're seated at the table and having a meal, or when we're just in the living room seated with our family, we need to be developing communication with our children, talking with them about the Lord, about His goodness, how you doing, son? Look at moms and dads, it's not wrong to say, how's your heart towards the Lord right now? You see, we need to stop asking simply, where did that happen? When did that happen? Who were you with when that happened? But we need to ask them, why did that happen, son? What was going on in your heart right at that moment? What were you thinking about at that very moment? And what does God want us to do in that situation? What would have pleased the Lord? You see, we want to be developing a Godward orientation in the hearts of our children, not just a manward orientation, but a Godward orientation, that they would seek to please God in all that they do and that they would glorify Him in their life. And we need to communicate that to our children. Moms and dads, being distant from our children is a very dangerous thing. In fact, it's at those times when I might feel like it's hard to broach a subject with my kids that I force myself to do it because I must stay close to them. I must know what's going on in their heart, even if it's not comfortable for them or comfortable for me. You might have a teenager just kind of roll their eyes like, oh boy. He's trying to talk to me about that subject. Oh boy. But that's when you need to do it the most. And we need to maintain a close proximity. I'm afraid that many moms and dads have not a clue what's going on in their kids' hearts. And what a shame that is. There needs to be godly communication in the home. Then secondly, not only through godly communication, but through quality time together. When I look at verse 7, I see a family at home, don't you? I see a family spending some time together. And I'll tell you what, in this busy, frenzied day that we live in, it's hard to have that kind of time. But I want to challenge some moms and dads, as I've challenged my own heart in recent days, schedule that time for the children, that time for the family. You know, we need to have a few meals at home a week together as a family, don't we? There ought to be some time when we turn the boob tube off and just stare at each other. There ought to be some times when we don't need all these entertainment mediums to bring us together, but just being together is good too. Whether it's playing a game or whether it's taking a drive or whether it's going to McDonald's for ice cream, whatever it is, you see, because sooner than we know, those kids will be gone. I remember hearing an interview of a prisoner of war some years ago, and I can't recall if it was Vietnam. It seems like it was. And he had been in a camp for several years as he was a prisoner of war. And then finally, he was set free. And they were saying, what are some of the things you regret the most about your time as a prisoner of war? He said, you know, there are some things that I can never have again because of the time I spent behind bars. He said, I didn't get to see my children's activities in school. And I didn't get to see my children grow up, and I didn't get to tell them stories, and I didn't get to see my daughter, who was a cheerleader, as she was cheering at her games, and he listed all of this. And as I heard that interview, I thought to myself, you know, many moms and dads who've never been prisoners of war haven't seen any of that stuff either. Haven't done any of that stuff either. Because while we're not behind the bars of an enemy camp, we've been behind the bars of a corporate structure or a business or some schedule. And the fact of the matter is that we many times as moms and dads need to say, you know what? The rest of what I'm doing is going to be there when my son or daughter have been raised. But they're only going to be here for a while. And I need to set time aside, quality time, to be with them, to sit with them, to walk with them, to talk to them. It may be something just as simple as getting the mail together. It may be something as simple as running an errand together. But think of that as a vital ingredient in the life of encouraging relationships. Proverbs 4 and verse 3 says, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words." Did you get that last phrase? He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. You know, sometimes time is the most difficult thing to give to anybody, and especially to our kids. Moms and dads, sometimes it's easier to give them $20 for the youth activity than to give them 20 minutes. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, it really is. It would be easier for me just to say, here's some money, go have fun, see you later. And that's how we many times, we think because we buy our wife a washing machine, we're a good husband. And because we got our kids a new pair of cords, we're a good dad. But you know, your wife didn't marry you for the washing machine, and your kids need more than the $20 for the youth activity. In fact, Dad, you ought to go on some of those youth activities. Just be involved. You see, taking time with your kids. Time is the most difficult thing to give, but it's the most important thing. You say, why are you stressing this? And here it is. Because rules without relationships will always breed rebellion. We can't just establish the role of authority without encouraging the relationship with the child. Because if all we're doing is say, look, bud, don't cross that line or you're dead, and we're saying, that's my authority in the home, that's only a part of parenting. The other part is having the right relationship with our children, and we must have the balance in that role. Now, if we teach our children to have a heart for God, then I want to say this in closing. Moms, dads, number one, we need to know God. Dads, you need to know that you're saved today. Moms, you need to know that you're saved. You need to know that if you died today, heaven would be your home. You need to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Christ is in your heart and that heaven is your home someday. Patrick Henry said it this way. He said, I have now disposed of all my property to my family. There is one thing more I wish I could give them, and that is my Christian faith. If they had that and I had not given them one shilling, they would have been rich. And if they had not that, and I had given them all the world, they would have been poor. Patrick Henry said, I want my kids to know the Lord. I want them to have my faith. I have a lot of friends who have immigrated to our country from Korea and the Philippines, and now they've become American citizens. And you know, as I've watched, a lot of times those young people from the Far East, it seems like they quickly adapt to the worst parts of our culture. It seems like they so want to be Western that what they want is a certain type of clothing, a certain type of tennis shoes, a certain look. You know what I'm saying? And I would say to my friends from Korea and the Philippines, listen, what your children need more than our culture, and they don't need this culture, is they need your faith. They need something that's not bound by international boundaries. They need the faith of Jesus Christ. And if we give our children all of these things, but we don't pass our faith on to them, if we don't nurture them in a walk with God, then we have really failed to give them what is most important. This past week, I had some time to be with my wife, Terry, and just to talk about some things in our relationship and with our children. And while we were together, we read a particular book on the family and on raising children. In fact, I read it. I was reading it and just doing some preparation for this message. And I said, honey, this is good. And she was reading a fiction book. And I said, that stuff, that fiction, that's no good. You know, I said, here, read something with some meat in it, you know. And she said, all right, read this fiction book. So I read the fiction book and she read this one. And she read that. She said, you know what? She said, that is a good book. And it was about shepherding the heart of a child. And it was a real helpful book. And I said, you know, I don't know how we're going to do this, but I'd like to do something like maybe next year for the Christian school or something. Take this book and give it as a gift to every parent. Make it available in the church. And maybe do something like any parent that would read this book, 160 pages, and answer the questions at the back, maybe we could give them $25 discount off the registration or something. I said, this would help families. And we continued to walk and talk about that. And then I said, you know, honey, I wonder, though, how many parents would even read it? How many parents would read it? With a double motivation, one, to be a better parent, two, to save $25. Yet, how many would even read it? I hope many would. But you know, the very fact that I posed that question, and we'll probably make that book available. But the fact is, moms and dads, sometimes we need to invest the time to be better parents.